last night as I was praying, seeking God's face about the rest of the revival, God gave me a profound prophetic word. So I put it into the teaching this morning, called A Mighty Army. Joel 2:1-11. Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. A people come great and strong, the like of whom has never been, nor will there ever be any such after them, even for many successive generations. I want you to listen to what Joel's saying, because then I'm going to be reading the prophetic word too. A fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is like the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Surely nothing shall escape them. Their appearance is like the appearance of horses, and like swift steeds, so they run. With a noise like chariots over mountaintops, they leap, like the noise of a flaming fire that devours a stubble, like a strong people set in battle array. Before them the people writhe in pain. All faces are drained of color. They run like mighty men. They climb the wall like men of war. Everyone marches in formation, and they do not break ranks. They do not push one another. Everyone marches in his own column. Though they lunge between the weapons, they are not cut down. They run to and fro in the city. They run on the wall. They climb into the houses. They enter at the windows like a thief. The earth quakes before them. The heavens tremble. The sun and moon grow dark, and the stars diminish their brightness. The Lord gives voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for strong is the one who executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? God started out the prophetic word with, tell all that are at the Lighthouse Church that I am coming after a church without spot or wrinkle. And I have been ironing out the wrinkles all this time, and this is the last pressing. Ephesians 5:27 says, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. And God went on to say, the whole earth is about to explode with my presence, and I will bring my army with me. They are dressed in white, and they have passed the time of testing, and they have their heads held high, and they are coming forth with a shout of victory on every side. This army is different, and it is unique. It is like no other army this land has ever seen. There will be fire in their eyes, and they will come forth with a burning desire to ride this one out with me. They will not look around to see who is in control. They will know who is in control, and they will fight, with all they have in them. They will fight in unison, and because of this, the enemy will lose every battle. And see, doesn't it go along with Joel that we just read? Then Joel 2:11 says, the Lord gives voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For strong is the one who executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? And when God was giving me this prophetic word that I just read, I knew in my spirit it was this younger generation that God is raising up. And that's who the end time army is, these people, this younger generation that God is raising up right now, bringing them in off the streets and delivering them, setting them free and cleaning them up. Because he went on to say, this great explosion will occur during the deepest and darkest hours this land has ever witnessed. This land will be vibrating with anticipation, for the land knows what is about to happen, and all my angelic hosts are prepared to ride also. They are going to come to this land, and they are going to fight the battles for my children, and they will not stop until the command is given for them to stop. I tell you now beforehand that this is a fierce and mighty army, a sight to behold, and like I said, there has been none like it before. I think this is an awesome word about the army that God has prepared and is preparing. And nothing, absolutely nothing, is going to stop this next move that God is bringing forth. And as I was reading this, where he said, about his angelic army coming to fight, and they will not stop until the command is given for them to stop. I thought about when David numbered the people, and the angels were sent forth to destroy the land. Remember that? I was going to write that down and forgot. And finally God said, stop. When David said, don't make them pay for my sin. But the angels kept destroying the people until God said, stop. And that's what he said here. These angels are not going to stop until the command is given. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Then God went on to say, the wages of sin are death, and much sin has transpired all across this land. The enemy of the souls has raped this land over and over again, and it is time for the raping to cease. God gave me the word, and I put the scriptures in there, okay? Joel 3:9-14, proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble and come, all you nations, and gather together all around. Cause your mighty ones to go down there, O Lord. Let the nations be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will set to judge all the surrounding nations. Your nations are people, right? Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for the wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. And Joel 3:14-16 says, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and moon will grow dark, and the stars will diminish their brightness. The Lord also will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and earth will shake, but the Lord will be a shelter for his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Then God said, a multitude of lost souls just hanging in the balance, and this army shall rescue them, a strong and mighty army that will fear nothing. And I mean absolutely nothing. This army has been through the throes of hell, and they know firsthand what it's like to be in the clutches of evil personified. And they are more than ready to rescue those lost and dying souls out of the same clutches that had them. You guys in here that God has delivered from your deep bondage, he's talking to you. Let's read that part that he said again. A multitude of lost souls just hanging in the balance. And this army shall rescue them from a strong and mighty army that will fear nothing. You know why they'll fear nothing? As God is giving me this, is because they've been in hell. They know the devil's tactics. And they know that the devil is a wimp and can't win. And so when God brings them forth, they're going to be so strong and so powerful that every devil in hell is going to bow their knee at them. Amen. This army will fear nothing, and I mean absolutely nothing. This army has been through the throes of hell, and they know firsthand what it's like to be in the clutches of evil personified. And they are more than ready to rescue those lost and dying souls out of the same clutches that had them. And also, you think about the young man we watched on the video the other day. You know, he was in, you know, he worked for Satan full time. And now he's received Jesus Christ, and he's not afraid of the devil, is he? He's not afraid of him at all. He just knows that he has no power. He knows that he knows that he knows that the blood of Jesus keeps him safe. Isn't that what he said in that video? Never that one guy said, are there any demons in here? He said, yeah, they're all over the place watching us. And he said, but they can't hurt us because the blood keeps us safe. And see, that's just it. We don't remember the blood. God told me years ago, daughter, don't forget the blood. And you know, as we understand what Jesus Christ did and the blood he shed so that we could be victorious ones and not defeated ones. And God went on to say, victory after victory after victory will be seen across the land as this great and mighty army goes forth conquering on every side. See, it won't be like us. It won't be like this generation right now where we're defeated all the time. This army that God's bringing forth, this younger generation, they're going to go forth and they're going to fight with everything in them. You know, they served the devil with everything that was in them. Now they're going to serve God with everything that's in them. So I just wish that the church itself would get out of their mediocre walk that they have with God. And I wish they would be like this mighty army. I wish they would understand the power and authority they have in Christ. And I wish they would just put the devil under their feet and keep him there. Instead of letting him rear his ugly head all the time, over and over again. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." This is going to be so awesome. We're going to stand back in awe as we watch this mighty army march across the land and destroy the enemy. We really are. "Eyes have not seen what they are about to see." This is God speaking. "Eyes have not seen what they are about to see, and ears have not heard what they are about to hear. And I tell you a truth, the thunder and lightning will clap and roar before this mighty army, and the winds will howl around about because of the fierceness of this great and mighty army." I mean, that's going to be awesome, isn't it? To watch these young people out there preaching the word, out there on the street, defying the enemy at every turn. Isn't that going to be awesome? You know, and I can't wait to see the streets run with people who are truly submitted to God and not afraid of the enemy and after destroying the darkness. And 1 Samuel 2:10 says, "The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven he will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." Then God went on to say, "Fear on all sides at this given time. That is why it is so imperative that my people set their hearts and minds upon me and stay in that deep position of hearing even the smallest whisper of my voice." Then he went on to say, "Time frame." Some would say, "What is the time frame?" But I tell you, there is no time frame for what I'm about to accomplish upon this land. Everybody wants a time and a date, when in fact they should be wanting more of me and less of the world. They should be desiring sweet fellowship to flow from the crowns of their heads to the soles of their feet. Tell me what day this is going to happen, Lord. He's saying, you don't need that. Isaiah 61:10 says, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels." Then God went on to say, "Salvation is sweet, but sin has corrupted my people and they are losing their salvation. They must ride upon the ways of my delivering power and destroy the works of darkness. I want a total annihilation of the enemy of their souls." Let's read that one again. "Salvation is sweet, but sin has corrupted my people, and they are losing their salvation. They must ride upon the waves of my delivering power and destroy the works of darkness. I want a total annihilation of the enemy of their souls." Zechariah 3:3-4 says, "Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, 'Take away the filthy garments from him.' And to him he said, 'See, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes.'" And God went on to say, "Their garments have been tainted by this sin nature. The enemy has had them trapped in a web of deception for quite some time now. And I'm about to destroy that web and bring my children up out of the throes of hell and place them on solid ground once again." 2 Thessalonians 2:9 says, "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved." So I'm going to read what God said again there. Their garments have been tainted by this sin nature. The enemy has had them trapped in a web of deception for quite some time now, and I'm about to destroy that web and bring my children up out of the throes of hell and place them on solid ground once again. God said he wants to set you free from all deception. He wants to bring you up out of that place of darkness that you've been sitting in, and he wants to bring you into his royal light, that light that only he can give. All Satan can give you is darkness, trials, tribulation, pain, sorrow. But God can give you light and give you truth and give you peace. And there is no deception in those who are walking with God. There's just no deception. If you're really walking with God because you're fully and completely and totally clothed in him, and the enemy, you won't believe any lie that the enemy brings. Your mind's going to be free from all those lies. And I'm hearing God say, even though the enemy towers over you, he can't touch you if you're clothed in my righteousness. In other words, the enemy can come looking for you and he can even find you, but he can't do anything to you because you are clothed in the righteousness of God, and you have that angelic host around about you, keeping you safe, and God's light is upon you, and the enemy can't stand the light. There's no more darkness in those who walk with God, is what that's what he's telling me to tell you. There's no more darkness in you when you walk with him. You're total light. And because you're total light, your beam goes forth and destroys the darkness before it can come near you. Are you listening to this morning? If you have that, what God just said, if you have that beam of light, if you have that light in you, then that light's going to radiate out from you, and it's going to go around about you, and it's going to be like a safeguard around you where the enemy can't come and touch you. So if the enemy's still touching you, how bright is your light from what God just said, right? If he's still doing his evil deeds to you, is your light not bright enough? Do you still have to get it brighter? And you do that by having more intimate time with the Father, right? You know, God said he's going to take our sleep from us because he wants us to be sitting in his presence so he can give us great revelation. And this is when I really had another sermon all prepared, and I was so tired, I fell asleep at the computer and woke up. I had about 10 pages scrolled down there. And I said, I got to get this done so I can go to bed. And then God started speaking. And he refreshed me, and he got me wide awake, and he started talking to me. And so this is what God wants to do to us. He wants to refresh us, awaken us, so that he can talk to us. He doesn't want to do it to us in our sleep. He wants us awake so we can feel it, so it vibrates in our spirit, so we won't forget it. It's cemented there. Well, Lord, I'm just going to lay down here and I'm just going to take a little nap. And while I'm napping, you can come and visit me and give me great revelation. That's not what he wants. I've done that. That's not what he wants. He wants us to sit there in his presence, wide awake. Wide awake. If you wanted to watch a football game, you make sure you was awake, right? Or if you wanted to go to the midnight sale, you make sure you was wide awake. So why can't we make sure we're wide awake to sit in the presence of the Father? Because the enemy makes sure that he puts something in your eyes to make you sleepy. Because he knows if he can keep you in a state of slumber, you'll never destroy his kingdom. Never. So I want us this morning, I want us to rise up out of our lethargy. Because God's been calling us to do that. And I want us to start sitting at the feet of Jesus. And I want you guys to start hearing God's voice like you never heard it before. And I want you to come and reveal the revelation that God's given you. Because God said he's getting ready to give revelation like never before. And when he gives it to you, he said you're supposed to give it to the people. It's not just something for you to hoard to yourself, but to give to the people. God said a great mighty army is rising up. He's bringing them forth. Now, just because you're older, you haven't missed a mark, all right? Because God said he's going to use the older people also. So he started out with saying the whole earth is about to explode with my presence. We've been crying out for this, but are we ready? You know, just like this morning, God just came in here and he just, with his awesomeness, what do you call it, a holy hush. And I watched, he was ministering to you people in a mighty way as you were sitting there in his presence. And what do you think it's going to be like when he said the whole earth is about to explode with my presence? Do you know how awesome that's going to be? And do you know there's going to be people asking you, what's going on? And you're going to have to be able to explain it to them. So you just had a taste of what's going to happen. And now you'll be able to tell the people what's going on so they can enter in too. You're in, what did God say? He's been pressing. And the pressing, this is the last press. This is the revival's the last press. Yeah, tell all that are at the Lighthouse Church that I am coming after church without spot and wrinkle. And I have been ironing out the wrinkles all this time. And this is the last pressing. I can't believe the wonderful things God has been doing each night of this revival. Been awesome. Really awesome. It's not even something tangible that we could see with our eyes. It was all spiritual as you people laid out before the Lord. The things he did and the places he took you. Are you ready for this to increase 100-fold? Being taken away in the spirit. This is what God told me to ask you. Being taken away in the spirit and just being showed just such great and wonderful things. Are you ready for this to be increased 100-fold? Will your body be able to hold the great explosion of his presence when he carries you away? This is what he's telling me to ask you. So you have to sit there and think about this. Is it going to be too much for you? Or will it be too little? That's his next statement. Or do you want more?
More.
Say. I'm hearing God saying this catching away that we had this morning is going to occur more and more and more. And he says some of you better be careful when you're driving because he's going to catch you away in your cars too. And you're going to have to pull over suddenly. Maybe you ought to ride in the right or left lane, you know, so you can pull over. He's telling me to tell you that you're in some of the most awesome visitations you've ever had. He said, you've been crying out in the darkness to me day after day after day for this freedom and this visitation. And I'm bringing it to you right now. He said, I've already begun. I'm not going to stop. And he's saying, hold on for dear life. Because this is going to be a ride of your life. And he's saying, it's not only going to be one explosion, but it's going to be many, 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 many explosions of his presence in your life. And he's telling you, men, you're going to be crying so much, carry around a package of tissues because you're going to be crying all the time because of the awesomeness of his presence as it falls on you. You're just going to find yourself bust out crying in front of people. And they're going to wonder what's happening. And you're just going to tell them, God just came. God just came. And as you say that, then they're going to want your God. They're going to want what they just saw. So are you ready for this, man? Are you ready to become a bunch of crybabies?
Yes.
Yeah. Man, you're not a man. Man, I said. God said he was going to move upon the men in this generation, and I'm glad he is. I'm glad he's making men, men. Real men cry. Amen. So don't hold back the tears. Real men cry. How many of you can say amen that when God really comes upon you, you do cry? It's just something you can't hold back. It's something about his presence. Just the tears just flow. And it's hard to explain to somebody that doesn't know your father what's going on in your life. But God said, I'm going to give you words to say. I'm going to give you words that will explain so they'll understand. And so they will want to come into my kingdom also. Excuse me. Thank you, Father. What does the word tumultuous mean? God said there's a tumultuous event that's getting ready to occur. Chaotic. And it is God. But God says it's getting ready to occur. He's saying, you people who have been crying out to me have rocked heaven, and now I'm coming in response to your cries to me. He's saying, I'm going to empty out myself into each one of you, and you will go forth like a mighty fortress. And no enemy will be able to touch you. This great explosion is going to be an explosion of my glory like none has ever seen. All across this land. He's saying some of you will empty out the graves. Raise the dead is what he's saying. Some of you will be so busy preaching my word on the street corners, down the highways, in the grocery stores, that you won't have time for anything else. You won't have to prepare a sermon. You just stand before the people and, the Lord thy God, I will speak through you. You're going to feel like you're on a fast track. And every now and then you say, Father, slow down. He said, but I'm not going to slow down. I'm not going to slow down at all. We have a mighty work to do. We have to do it quickly, children, very quickly. I've been preparing you. And you're ready. Whether you feel like you are not, you're ready. Well, you say, Father, I have this yet to get rid of, and I have that yet to get rid of. Don't worry about this and that. I'll get rid of it. You just stay obedient. You just stay in my presence and let me use you as I so desire. I'm hearing God say there's going to be an avalanche of lost souls being brought into the house of God. And even in the house of God, many restorations are going to take place. because many in the house are lost and dying also. Yeah, look at this, and it says, this land will be vibrating with anticipation, for the land knows what is about to happen. And all my angelic hosts are prepared to ride also. And I know with all my, every fiber of my being, that we've been anticipating the return, you know, this move of God too. And I know that because of the prayers of the church, God is ready now to come on the scene. Because he's been watching our hearts, and he knows that we love him and we want to work for him. And he has us right, you know, I'm just telling you what I'm hearing, he has us right where we need to be. And he's ready now. You know, somebody might say, well, what happened in revival today? Your answer could be many souls were saved, because isn't that what God just said he's going to use us to do, save many souls? Yeah, we look so much at the natural, don't we? We never look at the spiritual. I'm going to play that song, Will You Ride? And I'd like for us to sing that in closing. We can't out-top God and what he did here this morning. I'm not even going to try. Amen. You know, I sat in my chair and said, God, what are you going to do today? And he didn't say nothing. It was none of my business. He was waiting till he got a chance at the pulpit, right? Will you ride? Will you ride in that army?
Yes.
Let's sing that song, and let's, if you really want to ride, let's dedicate ourselves to the Father, that we will ride.